part of the reason I fell for her. But no matter what was going on in our lives, I could imagine lying beside her in bed at the end of the day, holding her while we talked and laughed, lost in each other's arms. It doesn't sound so far-fetched, right? When two people love each other? That's what I thought, too. And while part of me still wants to believe it's possible, I know it's not going to happen. When I leave here again, I'll never come back. For now, though, I'll sit on the hillside overlooking her ranch and wait for her to appear. She won't be able to see me, of course. In the army, you learn to blend into your surroundings, and I learned well, because I had no desire to die in some backward foreign dump in the middle of the Iraqi desert. But I had to come back to this small North Carolina mountain town to find out what happened. When a person sets a thing in motion, there's a feeling of unease, almost an ache, until you learn the truth. But of this, I am certain. Savannah will never know I've been here today. Part of me aches at the thought of her being so close, yet so untouchable. But her story and mine are different now. It wasn't easy for me to accept this simple truth, because there was a time when our stories were the same. But that was 6 years and two lifetimes ago. There are memories for both of us, of course, but I've learned that memories can have a physical, almost living presence. And in this, Savannah and I are different as well. If hers are stars in the nighttime sky, mine are the haunted, empty spaces in between. And unlike her, I've been burdened by questions I've asked myself 1,000 times since the last time we were together. Why did I do it? And would I do it again? It was I, you see, who ended it. On the trees surrounding me, the leaves are just beginning their slow turn toward the color of fire, glowing as the sun peeks over the horizon. Birds have begun their morning calls, and the air is perfumed with the scent of pine and earth, different from the brine and salt of my hometown. In time, the front door cracks open, and it's then that I see her. Despite the distance between us, I find myself holding my breath as she steps into the dawn. She stretches before descending the front steps and heads around the side. Beyond her, the horse pasture shimmers like a green ocean, and she passes through the gate that leads toward it. A horse calls out a greeting, as does another. And my first thought is that Savannah seems too small to be moving so easily among them. But she was always comfortable with horses, and they were comfortable with her. A half dozen nibble on grass near the fence post, mainly quarter horses, and Midas, her white-socked black Arabian, stands off to one side. I rode with her once, luckily without injury. And as I was hanging on for dear life, I remember thinking that she looked so relaxed in the saddle that she could have been watching television. Savannah takes a moment to greet Midas now. She rubs his nose while she whispers something. She pats his haunches, and when she turns away, his ears prick up as she makes her way inside the barn. She vanishes, then emerges again carrying 2 pails, oats, I think. She hangs the pails on 2 fence posts, and a couple of the horses trot toward them. When she steps back to make room, I see her hair flutter in the breeze before she retrieves a saddle and bridle. While Midas eats, she readies him for her ride, and a few minutes later she's leading him from the pasture toward the trails in the forest, looking exactly as she did 6 years ago. I know it isn't true. I'd seen her up close last year and noticed the first fine lines beginning to form around her eyes. But the prism through which I view her remains for me unchanging. To me, she will always be 21, and I will always be 23. I'd been stationed in Germany. I had yet to go to Fallujah or Baghdad or